is Channel 2.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews.
Welcome back to the Business Bunker Show here on channelradio.co.uk/2 in association with bizradio.co.uk. You're listening to me, Paul Andrews, and my absolutely gorgeous co-host, the lovely Bird on a Bike. We're just dishing up cake in the studio and it looks wonderful. It looks absolutely wonderful.
Yes.
But I insisted on not having a whole piece, Amanda, so they've just cut it in half for me.
Yes.
They're all looking at me in stunned silence.
You haven't seen the size of his half, have you?
Amanda? Yeah, no, absolutely. He's a bit large.
Do you want me to do some emails?
Yeah, would you mind?
Because I'm desperate. Can I just say, it is 2 o'clock and we haven't done one email.
I know.
That's how great the show is.
Yeah.
That's how great the show is. Right, we've got University of Kent Business School, free business sound bites. We love these sound bites.
Mm.
These are breaking down barriers, and I haven't even started eating yet. Achieve professional success. I wish you could. Do you know what? I can hear you all.
Sorry, go on.
Kent Law School, in association with Girling Solicitors, Simpson. All I can see is Joe at the side of my eye. He's like in heaven. He's got his face in it. You've got to take photos. It's hilarious. This is in association with Girling Solicitors, Simpson Building, Canterbury Campus. And this is September the 26th. And this is from 5 in the afternoon until 8:30 at night. And the details are kentbusinessradio.co.uk. And you need to go on and have a look. And this is Breaking Down Barriers, How to Achieve Professional Success. Go. They are brilliant, these sound bites.
They are really good.
Oh,
really
have you
good.
Cleared now? Can you talk?
Carry on. My phone's going off and all kinds of things.
Yeah,
going on.
And eating cake.
Look.
The next, jobsinkent.com. Careers Fair, in partnership with Job Centre Plus and Medway Council, is on Thursday the 19th of September on the upper floor of the Pentagon Centre in Chatham. And that's from 10 in the morning till 3 in the afternoon. More than 30 employers will be there, plus free bite-sized 10-minute workshops on finding your talent, choosing a path career, presenting yourself via a CV and interview. And you need to go onto kentbusinessradio.co.uk/Pentagon. Sounds very American.
It does indeed. Right, I'm trying to catch up with my tweets as well, because we got loads of tweets coming in and my phone's going off all over the place. Where have they all gone? Hold on. Here we go.
Shall I fill in for you, Paul?
Thank you. Applied Strategy Consulting. Are we too late for a Business Bunker shout-out, Paul? No, you're not. Flint Insurance, please. Commercial and personal insurance brokers in Kent. There you go. So there's a shout-out. You can follow them on Applied Strategy Consulting or at Flint_insurance.
Cool.
Give them a follow. Just following up, funnily enough, on the email he just read, I've just had a tweet from Tracy Ferguson about exactly that, about the events. Where's it gone now? Can't find it now. So I'll read another one. You've got one, which you can read.
An email? I've got millions of them.
Yeah, no, but you've got a tweet as well from your little fan club.
Yeah, but you've been included now.
I know.
How are you feeling about that?
Well, basically, he includes me so that I get you to read it. It's what happens there.
Well, we'll keep him waiting, shall we?
Yeah, the Romney Resource Centre has tweeted, can we have a Business Bunker shout-out? I hope you have a great show today, Vanilla Web. Could you give us a shout-out, please? With Results Day coming up, young people are worried sick about their results. If you live in Romney Marsh area, come and have a chat with the Romney Resource Centre. We're here to help you succeed.
Yeah, because it's this Thursday, isn't it?
Yep.
Yep. Here you go, Mitch. Ready? Hey, Bird and a Bike and Vanilla Web. Can we have a Business Bunker shout-out, please? Buy, sell your car locally on carsfromkent.com. It doesn't say from Mitch anymore. There you go, Mitch.
Perhaps he forgot his name.
And I'll tell you what.
What?
Don't sell like somebody sold to me on the phone, or didn't not sell to me on the phone.
You reckon?
Well, you want to be... If somebody says to you, what's the deal?
Mm.
You're going to give them a great deal, aren't you?
Was it Mitch?
No.
Oh.
No, I wouldn't do that to him.
No.
You're dribbling over there.
I know. It's nice cake.
It is. Joe's speechless. David's got it all over the mic.
I'm trying to surreptitiously eat cake by putting my face
in it. You want me to do an email?
While turning the phone off and trying to concentrate on what on earth's going on here.
Do you want me to do an email?
Yes, please.
Okay, so help bridge the gap between schools and businesses. In Kent, we offer a practical way for businesses to engage with education through Skills 3030. Now, in this two-hour event, businesses hear from a local authority and relevant recruitment groups while students take part in an employment-related workshop. And then they bring both groups together for a facilitated speed networking. Here's the programme. For business, there's a one-hour networking and presentations. There's FSB lobbying update. There's Kent-supported employment team, enterprise advisor network, and there's the most magnificent Mr. Dribbling Paul Andrews on skills and employment. And then for the students, we have a one-hour workshop, how to present yourself at work, how to stand out in your new job, and how to use LinkedIn to your advantage. And this is where the magic happens. We bring both together, so business and students, 40 minutes facilitated networking, 10 minutes free networking, and you can find all you need to find on www.wibblywobblyway.jobsinkent.com, or you can go on to email alison.parmar, that's P-A-R, M-A-R, at fsb.org.uk.
The next event's on the 25th of September.
I was just going to say that. Now, go on.
At Haysbrook School in Tunbridge.
Then?
And then the next one is November at Maskells in Paddock Wood.
Longfield Academy.
Oh, Longfield Academy. Yeah. And then Maskells is in June 2020.
Beautiful.
And we've also just booked another one for January 2020, and I can't remember where it is. But that'll all go on the website when they're ready.
Excellent.
Fantastic. I had a tweet from Athelbray.
Which one?
The one with a gif with her hairy legs in.
You love it, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, I know, you made me laugh.
I just say, they love all this. They even gif us on a Sunday evening because they're just thinking of us and our hairy legs.
Well, this one, they're saying, happy Tuesday, Bird and Paul. We can't tune in today because we're at Maidstone Hospital this afternoon, but can you give us a shout-out, please, for our intro to supervisory management, which is happening on the 10th of September at Brands Hatch Place for new and aspiring managers. It's just a paltry £199 for the whole day's fun. And here's a gift just for Bird, they say. So do, if you want to find out about their supervisory management course, give them a follow on the Twitter. Athelbray Limited, A-T-H-E-L-B-R-A-E-L-T-D is their Twitter handle.
But also, they made that gift for me.
Do you know you've got cake on your face? That's better. They did make that.
I know this is a radio show, but at this moment, I really wish there was a TV camera.
Yeah, we say it all the time, David. Yeah. We're wasted in here.
Yeah. Yeah.
We should have this as a YouTube. We should. We're comedy value, all in one.
I've got a camera there, but it's not attached to anything. I had a tweet from Ikigai Food Junkies, They say, Vanillaware, Bird and a Bite. Please give the Food Junkies a shout-out on the Business Bunker Show for our monthly vegan market on the first Sunday of every month at the Westgate Towers in Canterbury. Hope you're having another fabulous show. Thank you.
We've had them on a couple of times.
We have, yes, we have indeed. Vegan.
You can't do that.
Why can't I? Why can't I?
Anyway, Diamond Circle Weddings, they've gone and actually showed me, did you mean this little corner? And they've put the corner in as a gift. You've got to go and watch this all. If ever you want to see some absolute hilarious gifts, it's just, you can't beat it here.
Well, I sent us a gif of a panda doing what, you know, DJing, which is lovely. And they said, it's good to hear the Business Bunker back in glorious stereo. We've been in mono for the last couple of weeks because one of our stereo channels blew out. But apparently we're back in stereo now, which is good, I think. What you got? Do an email.
Are you joking?
Huh?
Are you joking?
Yeah, because you got your mouth full. Yeah, yeah, you can speak.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, you know, to all you wonderful people out there hearing about us eating cake, let's have a shout out to the original Cakes and Flakes shop that actually supplied these cakes this morning.
Yeah, go for it.
You are absolutely delicious. Mm.
Mm.
They make everything on the premises. They're in Chatham High Street, the Rochester end of it, and the cakes are delicious. So if you're listening, thank you.
And what were they called again?
The original Cake and Flake, or the original Flake and Cake, or some version of
Flaky
those.
Flaky Cake. Yeah, the Flaky Cake words. Shop in Chatham. That's what we want.
Yeah, number 64.
Fantastic. Well, I'll tell you what, the cakes are blooming brilliant, aren't they?
They are.
They're lovely.
You need to come on.
Mm. Yeah, and bring cakes, obviously.
I don't think we should let anybody who's got a business now that has food without it. You have to bring gifts and flowers. I don't get why people don't.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I've had a tweet from Jules.
What the co-host?
Yeah.
The somewhat co-host,
yeah. Mm. She says, hello, Vanilla Webb and Bird on a Bike. Business Bunker shout-out, please. Can you give a large shout-out for the fantastic Spinner Jet who cleaned up our weedy, dirty drive and is now tackling the Honda and the camper van?
We love Dan.
Yeah,
we gave him a shout out a couple of weeks ago,
we did.
Actually.
A Stan Juby at SpinnerJet. Mm. He's a good lad. He'll clean your drive, he'll clean your car, he'll clean anything, basically.
And also, what I like about him is he's really active on social media. He's really there. He watches everything. He likes it. He shares it. He's just really, really on the ball with it all. So that's what I like.
You inspired him as well, Bird.
With what?
He went and got a bike.
Stop it.
No, he did. He went and got a bike. He was riding his bike at the weekend.
Well, I'll give you another shout out as well, because so did Linda Garcia.
Really?
Yeah, she's gone and got a bike. She messaged me and went, you've inspired me. I've got myself a bike.
Yeah. Well,
I'm missing out a trick here, isn't it?
Can we have a selfie, please, Linda?
Yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Well, Dan got a bike.
Good.
And he went on a big bike ride downhill. And when he got to the bottom of the downhill, he couldn't get back, so he came back on a bus.
No, he didn't.
Yeah, he did. That's what he said.
Do you know, it's really interesting. I've got two clients this morning, and they were the e-biking over in the Alps. And they went, oh, it's not the same. I went, no, it's brilliant.
What's that, electric bike?
Yeah. Without a doubt, it gets you so far. Mm. I'd rather you be out and doing that than zero, not at all, because you think you don't have the fitness to do it. So get out there on your bikes. It's amazing.
Cool.
Although my friend did get knocked over last Wednesday. We were out on our bikes.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, that's awful.
Yep. 6 o'clock in the morning.
Is she all right?
He was, yeah.
Hey, sorry.
Yeah, his bike's not. But here's the interesting thing. There's a specific time. And I'm really, and I know you're going to get on your high horses about, oh, cyclists are terrible and blah, 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 blah. And I would agree, some are. But here's the honesty. They're humans on a bike. They have no protection. Mm. He was knocked over 6 o'clock in the morning. The most dangerous time I'm ever on my bike is 7 o'clock in the morning on a weekday. There are so many angry people going to work in a rush that cannot wait 10 seconds.
Yeah.
And they're going faster. And Steve and I will be coming home sometimes and we're doing 28 miles an hour. 28 miles an hour on our bikes, and they're overtaking us and speeding off in a 30 mile an hour, and they're still annoyed at us for getting in their way.
The problem is there's no point in being generalist about these things. There are poor motorists and there are poor cyclists, and it's just poor road behaviour, not what vehicle you're in. 3 days ago, I'm driving down the road and some absolute idiot kid on a bicycle coming the other way pulls a wheelie, loses control of the bike and shoots straight across in front of me. If I hadn't have been more aware, he would be under the wheels of my car.
Yeah,
that is entirely his fault.
Okay.
Yeah, so you're right, there are poor motorists and there are poor cyclists, and basically what it all boils down to is poor road behaviour.
That's a good point.
And that is the thing, isn't it? And just while I'm on a bit of a rant, which is why putting cameras on roads is pointless, apart from revenue collection. What you need are police patrols, because that's the only way you're going to improve driving and riding and behaviour on the road.
Well, we were watching a programme last night, and I very rarely watch the TV, but there we are watching it, called Cops Under Call or Cops for the Call or something. Anyway, this is in Devon and Cornwall, which I loved, so we were listening to people with real accents. It was brilliant. I felt like going home.
Were they pirates? They were all pirates.
It was hell of a funny, because one of the blokes went, oh, my God, we've never had that in Plymouth. I'm, like, laughing so much. Anyway, they were saying that in the whole of Devon and Cornwall, there was one patrol car for the whole of Devon and Cornwall on for traffic control that day.
Yeah.
One car for the whole of Devon and Cornwall. Hmm. Crazy.
And that's the problem, isn't it?
Yep.
You're never going to improve road safety. Although, have you followed the Kent road traffic team on Twitter?
Do they do the road myth busters? We cry with laughter.
Yeah. Well, it's Kent RPU or something. And they quite often put up tweets of people they've nicked, yeah? And they put up one over the weekend of someone in Ashford that they nicked, which is hilarious. So they got a picture of the guy's car. They blank out the registration plate, obviously, and they go, we just nicked him, yeah? They were at the Drover's Roundabout, which is a big roundabout up at the edge of Ashford. It said, he was so aware of what was going on, he didn't notice our car next to him. And it was a police patrol car that's painted in pride colours. You know, it was all rainbow colours and everything. So it stood out like nothing. They were actually next to him when he jumped the red light. Yeah, they were both at the, at the light when he jumped it. They then followed him for 2 miles where he broke every speed limit, pulled him over, and he said, "I haven't done anything." And they went, "Well, for a start, you weren't paying attention because we were parked right next to you." And he went, "Well, I didn't see you." And they went, "Look at the car." Yeah.
Anyway, we could go on. I could rant about this all the time.
We could. We got another great guest to talk to in a minute. We got loads of emails, and there's still tweets coming in.
Can you hurry up and talk to him because there's a lot of cake to eat?
Oh, you want to get on with the cake, don't you?
Do you not want to?
And you,
we can just let Joe talk. He's had enough now.
We could do that, couldn't we?
Let's do it.
We could just wind Joe up into talking while we all eat cake.
Anyway, Joe.
But I'll tell you what, why don't we just introduce Joe?
Do it.
It's an absolute pleasure to welcome for the very first time onto the Business Bunker Show, Mr. Joe Tocco. Joe, thank you so much for coming along. It's a pleasure to see you.
Thank you so much for having me on the show. Thank you loads for this opportunity,
No, it's a pleasure. And you even got cake, mate.
Oh, exactly. That's perfect. I kind of feel bad. I didn't come with anything.
No, that's right. You're not the only one. You're not the only one. Next time you come, you'll know.
I know.
Thank you so much for coming on the show. It's a pleasure to see you. Why don't we kick off? You run an organisation called...
Teacher Training UK.
Teacher Training UK. And I know you've got a kind of special angle on that.
Yeah.
So why don't you kick off by telling us about what that part of it, your business and what it does, first of all.
Yeah, okay, cool. So Teacher Training UK, I guess it says, you know, well, the name's on the tin. So it's a teacher training organisation. Yeah. And I guess where it's a little bit different is that we also, I guess, have programmes that are open to individuals that don't necessarily have a degree. Right. I guess the kind of key ethos, really, of the programme is we just... We recognise that there is seems to be a growing need and potential problem around education. So in 2017, we had a drop from the year before in terms of teacher training applicants of 40%.
Right.
And it had always been declining for quite a few years. And then in 2018, we had another 40% drop. So we're talking about, you know, really, really not a lot of people that are in positions to be able to train to teach that actually want to go into teaching, which then means that obviously many schools are forced to either employ people that are not qualified and have them teach or have TAs and different individuals that are actually involved in teaching. And so two things really, really come up there. And one is the fact that they're not then obviously equipped to train to actually teach the young people that they're working with. And the other thing is just from a motivational point of view, they're not paid the same. So there's an actual pay band, which is non-qualified pay band. So they're not paid the same as their peers and they're doing the same job. And then obviously just from a motivational point of view, it's really, really degrading to think, oh, you know, I'm doing a job which teachers are not really getting paid enough anyway. And then you're talking about someone that's getting paid even less than that. It's just, it's really, really difficult. So part of the things that I guess I've been involved in is a number of different kind of pieces of research, which we may talk about in a little bit. But part of that is just seeing how do we, because this is a growing problem, and unless someone or some, you know, or people look to kind of address it, and I think often, particularly within education, we tend to be quite slow with things like this.
Oh, tell me about it.
And so I guess for us, it was just looking at, you know, actually, how do we go about mitigating that, and how do we support those individuals that are either in the schools, but also we find that there are loads of people that have, you know, lots of skills and knowledge in a particular industry that actually want to give back.
Exactly. And that's one of my big things. As you may have heard early on, I do a program in schools.
Yeah.
30-30 program. One of my big beefs with schools, and I don't actually have a problem with schools because I understand that this is driven by politics.
Yeah.
Politics drives our school to be totally focused on GCSEs and stupid exams and nonsense like that. One of the problems as an employer, and we have massive skill shortages in the UK at the moment, 840,000 unfilled full-time jobs right now, and finding people with vocational skills is really difficult.
Yeah.
One of the problems is finding teachers with the skills to teach the skills that we need.
100%.
And one of the obvious things is to take people that have had a career in something that are now looking to give back and become teachers. But 100%. A lot of them don't have the qualifications to do
that. Exactly. So often they've got the absolute, you know, the knowledge, technical knowledge, and actually there'd be really, really prime individuals to actually go in to teach. The problem is that their qualifications don't necessarily map out to obviously what the requirements are for teaching, and then it means that it may be, you know, it'll take them another 6 years before they're qualified, and so they potentially don't. But actually, they're almost the people you want more. I mean, it's not, look, it's not to say that there's something wrong in the way that we currently do things, but someone to do their GCSEs, A-levels, go to uni, and then teach, it's fine. But I do think we do miss, or we kind of don't necessarily benefit from the actual, you know, tactic knowledge, the actual life experience and skills. And that's, you know, just really, really key.
Well, because it seems to me that the skill that they need is structuring their teaching. You know, so they've got the technical stuff.
Exactly.
What they need to know is how to deliver that into a classroom.
Exactly.
Yeah. But teaching is something that's been degree orientated for a long time. But there's also this PGCE thing that you have. So is that part of the route that you handle? Or?
Yeah. So the course that we do is slightly different. So PGCE is a postgraduate certificate in education, and so generally speaking, you'd have to have a degree in order to do that. And it's kind of, I guess it's a module of a master's. So it's not quite a master's, but it's got a master module to it to gain your PGCE. What we offer is QTLS, which is Qualified Teachers Learning and Skills. And basically, it's the exact parity to QTS, which is Qualified Teacher Status. So QTLS, sorry to confuse anyone, kind of came about in 2005. Right. And it was mainly, basically, the main primary focus was for individuals that were teaching in post-16 and higher education. And it was to kind of give them a qualification or status to say that they're qualified to teach. And in 2012, what happened is that because there became to be a bit of a need for those individuals to kind of teach in school, so you had people that had been teaching in universities or colleges that couldn't then teach in secondary school, yet had, you know, teaching experience as well as, you know, the technical qualification. And so what happened is that in 2012, they kind of brought the parity, so they made it that those with QTLS can also teach in secondary as well as primary school.
Because it's interesting, isn't it? Because there is actually no law about what you do. No. So in the private school sector, a lot of private schools will take anyone as a teacher.
Take anyone.
So you know, it's only in state schools where they insist that you have these qualifications. Quite rightly, you know. Yeah. I mean, I'm not saying that we should abandon qualifications, because that would be stupid. But I am one of these people that doesn't really get why we have to have a degree for everything. You know, they're talking about introducing it for police officers now. They already killed nursing by doing it, and now they're trying to kill policing by doing it.
Well, they didn't kill nursing. They just changed the model of nursing.
Yeah, but...
And that was coming in a long, long time ago.
Yeah, yeah, but for me, the problem was that when they made it a degree mandatory and then cut the bursaries, so many people didn't apply for it anymore, so they ended up having to import people that didn't do a degree either, but were qualified from overseas, which was insane.
But here's the thing, and I don't know if teaching's the same. They don't want the teacher to be practical anymore. They want them to be a manager of practical people in lower paid jobs, which is what you were saying about a teacher assistant. And going back to nursing, that's what we had.
Well, I can remember, used to be a nurse.
So I used to be a sister on a ward, and you could see this change happening. You could see it. We were getting less and less qualified staff and more unqualified staff. And I hate to use that phrase, but they were qualified to a level, say teaching assistants, but weren't to a full nurse, and you could see this happening. So not to take us off in that tangent, can I ask you a question? Are you still doing petals, dettles and kettles?
I like it,
because I started to do it because like you were just saying, I wanted to teach people what I knew, and I found it so annoying and frustrating and tick boxing. I just thought, this is crazy. I don't want to be spending all this money on trying to get it. Was jumping through a hoop.
Yeah.
And then, so do you still do that?
I think it all depends on where you get the program delivered. Because obviously, I think that whatever it is that you have in life, there's a way of doing something, and there's a bad way and a good way of doing something. So I think there's not necessarily something wrong with the qualification themselves, but it's more to do with delivery. So we do deliver some of those programs as well.
Yeah.
And I'd probably argue, so again, we don't offer an online program. So with those programs, you probably, you know, the likelihood is you'd get those online. And the reason why we don't is because we just can't see how you can really enable someone to really gain the right skills through that means at this moment.
Yeah, yeah,
it's
no,
not
I get
to say
that,
that we won't it. Ever, but yeah. it's just at the moment in terms of what's available.
It's almost an oxymoron, isn't it? You know, because you're teaching someone how to run a classroom by being online. You go, well, hold on a minute. Yeah, yeah, well, I'll cut out the middleman and just teach him online.
100%, that is exactly, that's so essential.
Joe, are you frustrated with it? Are you frustrated with the way that that level is being taught now? And you can see a better pathway.
This is quite interesting, actually. A couple of things I'll say here. So one is just to kind of highlight a point. So I think you talked about the fact that, you know, sometimes we've got people that are qualified at a degree level. Is that necessarily essential? So if I've got, you know, my son is obviously learning maths, you know, I don't necessarily want him or need him to be taught by an astronaut, because obviously... Mm. You know, although astronaut would be the best person in terms of mathematician, but you know, it doesn't quite draw in terms of the level that they're currently learning. So, it, you know, for me, it's about it being applicable. Where I guess sometimes the frustrations are is that a lot. You know, I've been in education for close to 14 years. I've taught on loads of different PGC programs as well as QTS programs, so different teaching programs. And what's always been, I mean, actually, sorry, I'm diverting a little bit, but I think I have to share this one, because I think this is probably where I guess a bit of my passion's come out. One of the programs we were teaching on, I won't say who, but it was a similar program to Teach First, where the ethos was that we wanted individuals that had a first degree in order to do the program. And so it's, you know, not enough to just have a degree, but you had to have a first as opposed to a 2-1 or 2-2. And so we'd normally have the course with about 40 individuals, but we had an E&D policy, ironically enough, which meant that 10% of applicants had to be those that didn't have a first degree. And so what was quite interesting here is that every year at the end of the year, when we looked at who made the best teaching grade, without fail, it was always the individuals that were actually on the course through this loophole. And I used to get really frustrated, because I'd say, technically, they weren't allowed on a course. This does not make sense that then they are best teachers and yet they weren't actually allowed. How many more are they out there like this? And it's not to say, again, that, you know, you shouldn't have a first or you need a first or whatever. It's not that. But it's just we know that, you know, that's not what's essential. What's essential is obviously, you know, having the knowledge that you need at the, you know, adequate level. And then obviously it's developing those skills.
It's one of those things about life, though, isn't it? And it's hellishly difficult to put together a program that deals with the reality of life. Because we all know that even within people that are qualified to do things, there's a whole range of different abilities with that, you know. So you might get someone that's really got really rubbish qualifications, but as a classroom teacher, they just gel. The students react to them. They get something out of them. I'll give you an example from a completely different point of view, talking about maths. When I was at school, I was one of the thickest kids in school. I left school when I was 14. Most of the kids in my class did the same. The nearest we got to an exam was a thing called a mock CSE, okay? Right? And I got 6% in maths, right, which put me in the middle of my class, okay? And my mate Steve got 4% in maths, right? Okay. Guess what Steve does for a living? He owns a chain of 9 bookmaker shops.
Wow.
Okay. So his mental arithmetic skills are beyond reproach. Yeah, he can quote you odds like that. He can work stuff out blinding. He can work it quicker than a computer, but he can't do maths exams. Yeah, and that's a little bit like you were saying. With, you know, should your son be taught by an astrophysicist or an astronaut or something, or should he just be taught by someone that understands arithmetic? Yeah, basically,
exactly. exactly
but teaching is a skill in itself.
Exactly, that's
not,
exactly my point.
Just being able to teach people this knowledge they have to have to pass this exam. That's all education is at the minute. It isn't teaching.
And that's exactly where I see where Joe's coming from here, because it isn't just about having technical qualifications or technical knowledge even, you know. You might be able to know what the square of the hypotenuse actually is, but in order to impart that to somebody else, needs a completely different skill. And I think that's what you're saying to us is, well, you don't do it online as well, but more so, you're looking at people that have those skills that are developable into the academic qualifications to go with it.
Exactly.
No, I love it. So,
what inspired you to do this? Because I heard a conversation off air, because you actually work, I don't know if you still do, but you worked in a university teaching. Yep. Teaching.
Yeah. So I still do. So I do that part time. And it, I think because I've been doing it for quite a long time, I'm generally kind of given a bit of freedom. So I know that I still, within a university context, I probably do things slightly different anyway.
Okay.
And also, I think...
He's a rebel.
Yeah.
He's a rebel.
We love
I saw that. As soon as he came in, I thought, he's a rebel.
But in terms of my passions, or in terms of, you know, what kind of got me into teaching or education in the first place, I guess my background, although you wouldn't really know it to see it now, is I'm a qualified personal trainer as well as a qualified counsellor. So I say about the personal training because it's been a little while. But
it's radio, Joe, it's radio.
But I guess so. A big thing for me is about working alongside people and really helping them to kind of achieve whatever goals those might be. Mm. And I think, of course, that kind of then brings me to education, where, you know, you really want to see these kids that can actually sky's the limit and help them to kind of achieve that potential. And I think where I get a little bit frustrated sometimes is that often in education, we have almost a bit of a one shoe fits all. You know, you're alluding to a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And I think it's just allowing the fact that actually, you know, we've got individuals that are different. And so we need to find a range of different ways of inspiring these guys and working alongside them and helping them achieve.
Absolutely. Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. I agree with you 100%. And I also recognise how difficult that is.
Yeah.
You know, when you put together programmes, especially when they're top-down programmes, it's difficult to make them generalized and customizable to suit individual people, you know. But that's one of my big things about where we fail in society with so many things. We make everything one size fits all. A classic example is universal credit at the moment, which started off as a really good idea and has become a fiasco of implementation because so many people had slight differences that fell outside the parameters of it, that all of a sudden you end up, you know, taking money away from people and they can't get it back for months. And you go, yeah, but it, well, but the rules, you know, the rules, the process. The reality of life is that we don't fit into a box.
Exactly that.
You know, people just don't fit into boxes. But it's hellishly difficult, by the same token, to configure something that's loose enough to cover people, but strong enough to make it viable.
Yeah, I mean, I think there it kind of depends on, you know, the starting. Like, for example, there's an interesting book that I've read a few times, but it's called Creative Schools, and it's by a guy called Sir Ken Robinson. And what's really, really good about the book is that they look at a range of different schools that have been developed in loads of different areas. And I think that what the key or what comes out from the book is actually it's not necessarily, and I think the analogy he gives is sort of having this fast food mentality versus a Michelin star restaurant. Yeah. So a Michelin star restaurant, if you go to a Michelin star restaurant anywhere in the UK, they'll be kind of catered to that local need. Mm. And they'll be very much, you know, great service. And it's really catered to what's going on in that particular area. Where if you go to a fast food chain, you get the exact same thing everywhere you go, potentially around the world.
Yeah.
So, and then what happens is that actually what you're kind of feeding the people is complete junk, and it's not good for them. Where a Michelin star restaurant is going to be absolute quality, but actually catered and tailored to the particular needs and where they're based. And I think schools need to be a bit like that. I think at the moment they're potentially a bit more like the fast food as opposed to the Michelin star.
I agree totally with you. You know, this, here in Kent, we still have grammar schools, which very few other places do. And there's this perennial argument about grammar schools. And I think that misses the point myself. I have no problem with grammar schools. What I have a problem with is what you do with everyone else. And that's what my big problem is. Go on, David.
This is sort of getting into an area that I really feel passionate about as well. The everyone else, something we don't talk about at the moment, is the parents of the everyone else. Because one of the big things that happens out there in education is the motivation, or it doesn't happen, is the motivation for the young people coming 100%. In and going to the school, and the self-discipline. And, you know, it worries me. You were talking about the number of applicants for teacher training going down and down and down. I've been in schools. I've been part of the programs that have gone in as a businessman. You go into schools to help. And I've looked at behaviours that go in there. And you're thinking, would I want to be coming into this every day?
Well, maybe we can kind of broaden this out into a bit of masterminding here as well on this whole subject.
Well, it's so emotional.
Yeah, it is.
Joe's loving it. Look, he's like, brilliant.
It is emotional, but people also attack it in the wrong way. You know, one of the problems, and I take on board what Dave is saying wholeheartedly, that parents are a pain in the bum. I happen to know, because I run job websites, that for the most part, degrees don't have any value in the job market any longer that they used to have, and apprentices earn far more money. Unfortunately, you still get far too many parents that want, you know, because they never went to university and their child has a chance to go to university, that's all they can focus on. And it's a bit the same with grammar schools, People want their kids to go to a grammar school. They don't sit and think, is a grammar school the right place for my child? When I was at school, we had, in Kent, not only did we have grammar schools, but we had tech schools as well. We had a three-level system, And there's no way on God's earth that I would ever have gone to a grammar school. If I'd have passed my 11 plus, which would never have happened, I would have refused to have gone. It was too blooming difficult. I just wouldn't have, I would never have been happy. I wasn't happy at school anyway, but do you know what I mean? We've got to have horses for courses, and we need a range of different things. Now, one of the interesting things is I'm lucky enough that I sent my kids to private schools.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of misnomers talked about private schools, but when you look at the private sector, there's a huge range of schools.
Exactly that.
My eldest son, who's very academically bright, he went to a very strong academic top public school. When he left, he got a job as a gap year teacher at another public school, he rang me up at the end of the first week and he went, they need some bloody discipline down here. They're all over the shop. They need a good slapping, this lot. And it was a hippie school, basically, where there was no uniform. The teachers were all called by their first names. All the stuff that they taught them was crafting skills. Top school, really expensive place to go. Totally different to the school that Jamie went to. So there's a range of different schools in the private sector that cater for different types of people.
That's exactly that.
We don't have that in the state sector.
Yeah, not really, or if we do at the moment, it's not quality, and I think that's the bit that's missing.
Yeah, for sure. So it's education is a topic that is so important, and it's always been important, but now more than ever, especially with critical thinking.
Of course, huge.
And it's interesting that our politicians that still run schools are still obsessed with the same thing, even though the evidence is piling up and piling up and piling up that things like GCSEs really just don't cut the mustard anymore. I don't know if you even want to get into that argument, Joe.
I was just going to say, poor Joe's got his head on the block.
Yeah, he's going, what's he going to ask me? I'm not committing to that.
You're throwing the poor man under a bus
Exactly.
The thing is, I feel like he almost needs a little bit, a bit more time to kind of
of course he does.
I think ultimately when it comes to education, I think there are different purposes for education, and I think most of the time it's almost having those different purposes met and in balance. So one of it is going to be about knowledge to some degree. Part of it's going to be about making people employment ready. A part of it's going to be about kind of integrating different cultures. Another part is about that kind of personal approach in the individual and letting the individual grow. And I think that what's really important is having the kind of right balance on those different things and not too much emphasis on one over the others. And I think sometimes there can sometimes be a bit more emphasis on maybe certain types of knowledge versus some of the other things that are important as well. So it's really, really key to still, to recognise the different factors that are really important in education.
Absolutely.
Joe, do you feel that there's a need to look at another area there, which is looking at the pupils now that are at school? To me, teaching, one of the ways that teaching's got to work, if I'm going to teach, you have to learn. For you to learn, you have to want to be there in the first place. And something that I've felt, and this is a question to you rather than a statement now, is that just over the last few years, as you look at schools, I just question how many of the pupils actually want to be there in the first place and their motivation for turning up. And are we asking an impossible task of the teachers?
Yeah, I mean, that's really, really key because One of the important things, whatever it is in life, is that, you know, if someone doesn't want to be somewhere, then it is really difficult to kind of engage them in the first place. 100%.
Absolutely. You're in danger of me going off on a big rant with exactly 4 minutes of this show left. There's some fantastic work done in the 80s by a guy called Dr. Howard Gardner. Gardner was the head of education at Harvard, and he did a massive study on education. And to paraphrase a lot of work, he basically found that roughly 70% of young people at school do not suit academic qualification. So 30% go on and succeed with their exams and their degrees and their, all the rest of it, and 70% of the rest of us don't. Yeah. The funny thing is, the correlation of the 70% and their success in later life is far greater than the 30% that got the qualifications. Yeah. And out of that, he developed a thing called EQ, which is emotional quotient, which is emotional intelligence. And basically, it comes down to the thickies had street smarts, and the academic ones kind of thought all the answers were in the back of a book to kind of cut into the core. But it's absolutely true. One of my big things is that we've created a rod for our own back in society by forcing young boys especially to stay at school longer than they should have done. You know, I left school when I was 14 years of age and started work. 15, 16 is a good age to start work if you're not going to do academic qualifications. But we kind of tried to force people into it still.
Can I suggest that there's an exception to that?
Yeah.
Which is, make sure that they learn basic arithmetic.
Yeah, yeah.
And that they can read and write.
Yeah, yeah. But that should have been done at primary school, yeah. Basically.
Oh,
yeah.
Now we're on to another big rant, aren't we? Should have been done at home. Yeah. They should have been taught manners at home before they got to school.
Exactly. I mean, there's core skills that we need, and those core skills are, you know, reading, writing, and arithmetic. We've always known that.
Yeah.
But there are also other core skills, and the core skills that employers are looking for are critical thinking, communication skills, and those kind of non-academic skills, but what they used to call soft skills. Fascinating subject. The whole thing's fascinating. Joe, thank you so much for that. Just so that we know, coming back onto Teacher Training UK, your business, who is that aimed at? Who are your core clients?
Yeah, so core clients are often individuals that are already working in the school, that are either TAs that started to teach and want to get into teaching, or and also individuals that are working as non-qualified teachers, as well as those that, you know, I guess have been working in a particular industry and actually want to get into teaching and pass on those skills that they've learned.
Cool. Fantastic.
Are you just a local business, or is this
it's a really good question. So we've got a course in Kent, which is over at the Innovation Centre, Medway, and then we've got another course in London. And the idea is that from next September, we should have a course in Essex, Surrey, London, Kent, and then potentially in Liverpool as well.
Fantastic.
So is this your business, Joe?
Yes,
so
it is.
Wow.
Yeah.
Love it. Yeah. Joe, thank you so much for that. Real pleasure. If people want to find out more about what you do, how can they do
that? Of course. So our website is www.teachertraininguk.org. Can email me. So that's just joe.toko@teachertraininguk.org. Or our telephone number again. I love a good conversation. It's 01634-568-504. Thank you.
Fantastic. Joe, thank you so much for that. It's a fascinating topic. And we kind of all piled in on you there at the end.
Talk about Joe's business, boys? You just went completely.
Joe's responsible for the whole education system.
You see
in
what
this
they
country.
Did to you, Joe? Yeah. I was just like, all right, you can't help it. And it's the parents and it's the children.
Education is an emotional subject to lots of people.
You could see you all just there. You could feel the emotion change as soon as Joe started to talk about very emotive.
And what I love about what Joe's done, and I do love it about it, is he's applied some thinking to what he's doing, and he's trying to solve some issues using a slightly different method of doing it, and that I think that's brilliant. And that's what we need, more critical thinking in education.
But also, you're still teaching as well.
Yeah.
And that is vital.
Absolutely
vital.
Yeah, absolutely. Joe, thank you so much. Really interesting and fascinating discussion. We're fast approaching the end of the show. You still haven't read any emails, have you?
I've read two.
Have you?
It's very funny when we only... We've got 52 emails.
Yeah, I've got one that I need to read.
Can we see them out?
I'll get killed otherwise. It's the Tech Expo. The Kent Events Centre in Detling, taking place on Thursday the 26th of September, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. The Tech Expo is a one-day exhibition and seminar bringing together industry experts to help business owners to understand what technology is out there and how it can help them run, build and grow their businesses more effectively and efficiently. There's a range of speakers at the event. Brian Sutton from Microsoft, how Microsoft is developing to help small businesses. Richard Bell, who's the Chief Technology Officer of 10 Intelligence, on cybersecurity. Ben Abbott, who's the Chief Executive of Maximum Media, getting your business ready for voice technology. Will Charlesworth from Child in Child, talking about IP, intellectual property and digital law. And then an interesting twist on the whole technology thing, Bill Burton from the Dale Carnegie Organisation, talking about being human in a digital world. There's also some workshops. There's a workshop run by Aaron Taylor, who's the CEO of 6.2 Technology. Stop the sales pitch, start the conversation. Mike Hacker, lovingly known by all of us as Hacks, who's the CEO of Prisma Broadcast, how the proper use of video can propel your business forward. And then the fantastic Zoe Cairns of ZC Social Media, having an adaptable content strategy plan. There's roundtables, panel discussions, networking meetups, loads of things happening on the day. Plus, there's loads of exhibition stands there as well. If you want to visit, it's totally free to visit. There are still some stands and sponsorship packages available. All the details for all of it can be found at techexpouk.com.
Right, I'm just going to go fly through these with dates and whatever. So we've got Marsh Breakfast Networking. That's on the 22nd of August, and that's at 7.45 till 9.15, and that's at the Ship Inn. And then you've got the 26th of September, another Marsh Networking Breakfast Morning, which is at www.marshnetwork.co.uk bookings. You've then got oasis.uk. It's oasis.co.uk. And they're introducing a free reverse VAT crunch time brunch. Now, that is on Eventbrite. So you can go to eventbrite.co.uk. And that's September the 4th. And that's a Wednesday. And that's at London Golf Club. You then got Fruitworks Community Workspace is expanding. Yay! We have easy access, no long-term commitment, hot desk, fixed desk and small private space. And you can go to www.fruitworks.co. You've also got Do You Train Apprentices, 4th of October, Rochester Cathedral. You're invited to their first apprentice graduation ceremony. And you can go on to Eventbrite to get that up as well.
Mm. Looking forward to that. I'm emceeing that. It's a full-blown graduation ceremony with capes and mortarboards and everything else for apprentices.
Brilliant.
Yeah, so it's going to be good. There was one last year in Guildford, and this one's happening in Kent at Rochester Cathedral, 4th of October. It's going to be good. The FSB South East have got a Women in Business brunch on the 5th of September, and it's hosted by Sue Hainsby, and the speaker is the Chief Executive of Avexio Limited, and one Mrs. Amanda Flanders. So do get along to that. It's in Northfleet, and you go to eventbrite.co.uk/womeninbusinessNorthfleet to get your tickets.
Perfect. You've got the King Summit Business Scale Up Conference, Thursday the 10th of October from 8 a.m. till 4 p.m. at the Kent Cricket Ground. You've got five speakers, Simon Teague, Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, Stuart Godwin, Julia Bernard-Thompson, King James, Ruth Whitaker. Go to www.
Wibbly wobbly way.
TheKingSummit.com.
Sorry.
We're good at this, aren't
we? Yeah.
Go.
There's Lunch and Learn with Orchard Employment Law and Hawksafe on Wednesday the 18th of September at the Case Sports Centre, Cobdown at Aylesford. Are you prepared for the changes in law which will take place next year? Do you know how to conduct a risk assessment? This seminar will improve your knowledge of employment law and health and safety so that you can manage staff more confidently and more effectively. Orchard Employment Law and Hawksafe have joined together for this Lunch and Learn event to help local business owners and managers with these important topics. Gemma Fairclough-Haynes, who's an employment law specialist, trainer and public speaker, is going to be talking to you about getting ready for the changes in HR law, the 2020 changes in employment law legislation, what should be in an employment contract, managing staff absences and performance. And then Andy Haith from Hawksafe, health and safety consultant and CITB accredited trainer, risk assessments, what are they and why do we need them? We'll look at what the law requires us to do with respect to risk assessments. How do you know what your business needs to do? We'll concentrate on what hazards are, and this is the foundation of the assessment process. Understanding what hazards are will give you the confidence to take this training back to your business and have the conviction to review your current risk assessment procedures. The whole thing costs just £32, and that includes lunch, which can't be bad, and you can get your tickets via Eventbrite.
Nice.
Cool. What you got?
I've got loads. The full report and video from the University of Kent, that's the KBS, Kent Business Summit 2019, are both available to read or download at www. Why are you laughing?
Because you're on the front cover of it.
Oh, I can't help it, can I? No. I didn't even charge them.
Yeah.
Go figure. Right. KentBusinessRadio.co.uk/KBS.
Buy your lovely picture of bird. Well, you don't even have to buy it. It's free.
I have my photographer.
Headshot.
It's not my headshot. Yeah. Anyway, she just sent them through, so I've got to have a look at them.
Oh, the one on the bike?
Yeah.
In your high heels?
I know.
In your stilettos?
Yeah, for sure.
I know.
It's hilarious.
Yeah, it's great. No, it's lovely. I think it's a fabulous photograph.
Are you mocking me?
No.
He is. You can tell, isn't he?
I'm not mocking you. It's a fantastic photograph. Really different.
I'm going to use that as my headshot.
Yeah, it's really different. It's really different. Well, you can't. Well,
I'll show you. It's hilarious. Yeah, it's brilliant. The photographer.
It's not hilarious. It's really good. It's clever.
The photographer was very, very clever.
Yeah. That's good. Well done. Save the date. 26th of September. It's the annual South East Construction Exhibition. It's taking place at the South of England Events Centre in Ardingly in Sussex. And if you want to find out about it, go to constructionexpouk.co.uk. And we happen to know, because we had Norman from the company that's doing it, a local company here in Wye, have been challenged to build a house in a day. Do you remember
we looked it up? Because we thought there might be a bit of a world record.
Guinness World Record. Yeah, we ain't got a hope in hell,
no,
have we?
We haven't, no.
They built a 2,000 square foot house in Texas in 3 hours.
Seriously, that's the current, so that's you can the current world record. How many people they've got doing
Anyway, they've been challenged to build a house in a day at the South East Construction Show, and they will be undertaking that challenge.
And if you do visit that construction show, mine will be the voice that you're hearing telling you how they are getting along.
Oh, are you emceeing at it, David?
Yeah.
Well, so you can go and see David in action.
Yeah. Come up and say hi.
Yeah. Are you wearing your red suit or overalls?
He's got a thing about this red suit, hasn't he?
Yeah, I was just checking on. Well, it's a construction expo. He should be in overalls.
Overalls,
yes. He should be in overalls and a hard hat and steel boots. Come on, health and safety.
Do you know what? I think I'd want to take along a hammer with me and then just greet you at the door.
Come along and see David, 26th of September, Ardingly, the Sussex Event Centre. Do you know what? We're at the end of another show.
Can't believe it.
It's gone really quickly, hasn't it? We've had two fabulous guests. I want to say a huge thank you to Mr. David DeCara, Toastmasters Supreme.
Thank you very much.
And the absolutely wonderful, really engaging and fantastic discussion that we had with Joe Toko of Teacher Training UK. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
And of course, my lovely co-host and assistant, Debbie McGee. No,
I'm so excited. I've been promoted.
The lovely Sarah Ann Lucas, otherwise known as Bird on a Bike. Look, thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week, next Tuesday, with another show. In the meantime, have a fabulous week, everybody. Bye for now, and we'll see you all next week.
Bye.
The Business Bunker with Paul Andrews. This is Channel 2.